Fittingly enough, the re-emergence has largely occurred in that most universal of mediums, the web. And it looks as if it might even be gaining momentum. Modern solrosolists largely pursue it as an exercise in comparative linguistics. Yet Dutch radio have broadcast in solrosol, and intriguingly, it has emerged as a new computer language. Solrosol do mi fa re. The language lives.
Andrew Sachs read The Last Tale from Banvard's Folly by Paul Collins. It was abridged by Richard Hamilton. And on Monday at this time, Constable in Love by Martin Gayford. Passion, Money and Art, the story of John Constable and his pursuit of the love of his life. It's read by Anton Lesser, who we love here on 4Extra for the many parts he plays here, including Falco, and most recently adding some soft menace to Ambridge Extra.
Open up, Missy!
Well, I know who it is. It's Georgina Parkins. So stop messing about.
Margaret Forster's tale of an unconventional girl.
Why don't you just say what you're really thinking? How could a pretty girl like Meredith share a flat with a great clodhopper like me?
Oh, come on, George.
My name is Georgina!
The trouble with you is you don't realise how lucky you are.
Georgie Girl on BBC Radio 4 Extra.
George, have some pride. You don't go around in this life showing your feelings.
On Saturday at midday.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
It's 3 o'clock. Hello, this is Susan Ray with the second part of our drama, Lady's Delight. Not, surprisingly, the life story of Jim Lee, but almost as good. Emile Zola's colourful tale of business, ambition and fashion, set in the hustle and excitement of the expansion of one of Paris's first department stores. And tonight, Tom Rigglesworth lets out a prolonged roar of enraged bafflement in a letter to the people in charge of traffic enforcement at 10 in the Comedy Club. Now, after her dismissal from the Lady's Delight, Denise is determined to stay in Paris. She rents a room above old Bourras' umbrella shop and quickly sets about trying to find other work. With local shops closing as the Delight expands, the task proves more difficult than she imagined.
The Lady's Delight by Emile Zola, dramatised by Karine Adler. Following her dismissal from the Lady's Delight, Denise walked up and down the Rue de la Machaudière, dazed, absolutely alone, lost in this huge unknown city. Unable to even go back to her uncle's because he no longer acknowledged her. Across the street, a sign caught her eye, furnished room to let. It was the umbrella shop, situated between the Lady's Delight and the Hotel du Villard.
Excuse me, sir. You have a room to let?
Old Bourras, long-haired and bearded like a prophet, looked at her clean dress and decent appearance.
Yes, but not for you.
Oh, please, let me see it, sir.
You'll be better off on the first floor, where the rooms have been taken by, ladies. Here we are. It'll be 15 francs a month. It's small, but... well, it was a nice view from the window.
It was a miserable little room furnished with a bed, a walnut chest of drawers, a table and 2 chairs. A thin wall was the only thing that separated the room from Denise's old department and the Lady's Delight.
It will suit me very well. Thank you.
The first 2 months were terrible. Denise tried to find work, but the dead season had stopped business everywhere. Unable to pay for Pepe's board and lodging, she brought him to live with her. In the midst of all this poverty, Jean turned up.
You scoundrel. It's all my fault you haven't got any money.
No, Jean, look. I've still got a franc.
Oh, can I have it, Denise? I haven't got a sou, and there's this girl where I work. She's the daughter of my employer, and if I take her out, my employer will...
Here.
Thanks, Denise.
When Jean had left and Pepe had fallen asleep, she spent a dreadful night racked by anxiety about the following day. And other fears kept her awake. The women lodging on the first floor received visitors. And sometimes they mistook the floor.
Go away! Go away! Oh, don't cry, my darling. Don't cry. Here's some bread and cheese, my darling. Eat, my love.
I'm hungry.
I ate while you were sleeping. Who is it?
Columbine.
Columbine.
Hello, Denise.
Did Uncle send you?
No.
Oh. I hoped that maybe he'd forgiven me.
No. I was just passing. And I wanted to see how you were doing.
I'm all right, thank you. And how is everyone at the shop?
All our customers have left us, Denise.
Oh.
Everyone shops at the Ladies' Delight these days.
Oh, poor uncle.
And they say it's going to get even bigger. Cool, what a shop that'll be, eh? The thing is, Denise, do you remember Clara? Clara Prunier? She worked with you in ladies' wear.
Yes. What about her?
Oh, Denise, you've got to help me. I want you to give her a message from me. You see, she doesn't know I exist, and she's so beautiful, and she has so many admirers. But you know her. Yes, she'll listen to you. Please, tell her I want to meet her. Tell her I want to take her out.
What? No!
Why not? You see her every day. She works next door. Please, Denise.
And what about Genevieve? Oh. It'll break her heart. And for what? Oh, Columbin! You're engaged to be married!
It was the last days of September when Denise knew utter destitution. Peppy had fallen ill with a bad cold. She should have been fed on beef tea, but she did not even have any bread.
There we are. We are so shivering. Oh, my darling. My poor darling, I've got nothing to give you. Oh, God!
A loaf of bread and some hot soup for the lad.
Oh, thank you, sir. Oh, thank you.
No, shush. Don't cry so loud. It's disturbing me other tenants. Look, see me in the morning. I've got some work for you.
Oh, thank you.
I'll give you 2 francs a day. Not that you'll have much to do. No one comes anymore. All because that scoundrel Murray opened an umbrella department. And he sells them at half the price! Art is done for! I tell you! All of them buying everything ready-made and selling it for nothing! See this handle? Nobody makes them like this nowadays. And I'm the only one left. Where's the little one, Denise?
Oh, he's upstairs in the room, sir.
Well, you left him all alone? Well, go and fetch him. He can play in the shop while we work. I don't mind. I like children.
Denise felt extremely grateful to the old shopkeeper, whose kind heart she could sense beneath his violent eccentricities.
Come here, Pepe.
Go on.
Take a look at this. Have you ever seen such a beautiful carving?
What is it, sir?
What is it? It's a dog's head!
Please, can I have it, sir?
Oh, no, not yet. He hasn't got any eyes. See, I've got to do his eyes. Listen to him! That scoundrel Murray in his shop! He thinks he can push me out. Oh, let him try. I've got my leash. I can hold on forever! No, only way I'm leaving here is you me coughing.
What if they offered to buy you out, Monsieur Boras?
Oh, he's already offered 30,000 francs.
That's a lot of money, especially when you don't have any customers. No. Shouldn't you accept it?
Never! I rather starve!
Give me the dog, sir, please.
Look out! You bite you!
But with that money, you could set up somewhere else. Oh, and what if your landlord sells in the building? What will you do then?
I'm here! I'm staying! The Emperor with all these cannons won't get me out!
At times it got very hot in the little room under the tiles, and Denise suffered greatly. To escape the heat, she would take Peppy and go to the Tuileries Gardens for a breath of fresh air.
Peppy, stay on the path!
Mademoiselle Bourdieu.
Monsieur Moray.
You're still in Paris?
Yes, sir.
So that must be your little brother?
Yes, sir.
Huh. Listen, mademoiselle, I owe you an apology. I wish I could have met you sooner to tell you how much I've regretted sacking you. Well, the harm's done, but please rest assured that everyone is now aware how much you care for your brothers.
Thank you, sir.
There's only one way I can make it up to you, mademoiselle. Of course, if you would consider returning
sir,
to...
Sir, I can't. I've got another job.
Ah, yes, with the umbrella maker. I heard you're lodging with him.
Yes, he's very decent.
He's a silly old fool, and I'll end up ruining him even though I'm doing my damnedest to offer him a fortune. Besides, his house isn't the right place for you. He lets rooms to, let's just say, a certain type of woman.
One can be decent wherever one lives, sir. And there's even more merit when one isn't well off.
Mouret turned towards her. She seemed to be just the same, with her simple dress and gentle face. But this modest simplicity gave off a penetrating perfume, and he felt its power.
How you change, mademoiselle. I know. Would you be my ambassador? You see, I want to increase my offer to 80,000 francs. Talk to him.
I'll try, but I doubt he'll accept it.
He'll be ruined if he doesn't. Well, good night, mademoiselle.
Good night, sir.
Oh, and don't forget, my offer is always open to you.
Thank you, sir.
Mouret watched her walk away. Then, raising his eyes, he caught a glimpse of Madame Defarge's windows lit up in front of him. He turned to look at Denise again. He could see her clearly in the pale dusk. She was a skinny little thing compared to Henriette. So why on earth did she warm his heart like this?
It's over. I'm finished. Finished!
My goodness, what happened, Monsieur Boras?
He's bought me house. He's me landlord now.
No.
I have to pay him. I have to live under his roof. But you know how much he bought it for, hey? 150,000 francs, four times his value. The scoundrel, the thief!
Go upstairs, Peppy. Go on, my love. Now, calm down, Monsieur Boras, and listen to me. I just met someone. Yes, someone from the Delight. Now, this someone is very influential, and they told me Moray will up his offer to 80,000 francs for your lease.
80,000?
Yes, yes.
80,000? No! Not even for a million! Never! Not now! Bodo, listen to this. Do you know they have the gall to offer me 80,000 francs?
So it's true.
They think I'm going to sell myself like a prostitute.
But when your lease expires, they'll get it all for nothing. Be reasonable. Accept the offer, Monsieur Boras. You'd be mad not to.
You hear that, Badu? Your niece is on his side. We're the one here. She's working for that crook.
I know. Denise, My wife and Genevieve asked me to invite you for dinner tomorrow and to bring the little one.
Oh! Oh, thank you, Uncle. Oh, I'd love to.
She's not a bad girl. As for me, if the house falls, they'll find me buried under the rubble.
The next day, when Denise went with Pepe to her Uncle Baudou's, she found the street blocked with a line of tip carts and gangs of demolition workers. Mouret was to occupy the whole block. He was buying up leases everywhere. Shops were closing, tenants were moving out. It seemed as if Baudou's was shrinking as the Lady's Delight expanded opposite.
Careful, Denise. Those scoundrels would run you over.
Dear Genevieve.
Oh, cousin. I missed you so.
Oh, Denise, how nice to see you. And Pepe, too.
Oh, I'm so sorry I hurt you, Auntie. Please forgive me.
Oh, my dear. If that was my only worry, you'd see me a lot happier today.
Time for dinner. Colombin! Where's Colombin? Where is he?
Sorry, I'm late.
Ah, there you are. Let's eat.
So, is it true, Denise? Moray has offered you your job back?
Yes, Uncle.
But you won't take it, will you? Not after what he did.
Why not? She's free to do what she wants, even though he's destroying us. Oh, yes, he's destroying us. How can we compete? His goods are 15% cheaper than ours.
The customers don't complain.
I can't believe you're on the side of the people who so disgracefully threw you out.
Oh, I'm not, Uncle. But it's a fact. The big shops have so much capital behind them, they can afford to sell cheap. And so their customers benefit from that. That's all I'm saying.
I know. Business is business. Yes, they're successful, because nowadays it's the crooks who make fortunes. I mean, that's what we've come to! But Baudou's drapery will never change.
Calm down, dear. Eat your dinner. It's getting cold.
No, I wanted to understand. I'm like this jug. I'll stay the same forever. Oh, look at the mess they're making. All that noise, all that dust everywhere.
Please, dear.
No wonder we don't have any customers. And you defend him. Very well, let's not discuss it. He mustn't divide us again. Go and work for him if you want. But why don't you ask Genevieve and Colombin what they think of the Lady's Delight?
Genevieve and Colombin hadn't said a word. Behind his drooping eyelids, he seemed to be hiding the internal fire which was consuming him. Whereas she seemed to be giving way to despair.
Go on, Genevieve, tell Denise what you think.
It's true, I'm not very fond of them. Cousin, but not everyone feels the same as I do. Isn't that so, Columban?
Yes. Yeah, thieves and crooks. Every one of them.
That's my boy. At least they'll never have you.
Never.
Come on. Let's get back to work, Columba.
I'll take Pepe for a walk.
You're very quiet, cousin. Oh, my dear. Wait, I'll fetch Auntie.
No, no. Don't want Mama to see me like this.
Oh, dear. You can't breathe. Let me unbutton your dress. My goodness. You're much too thin.
I know. I tried to hide it. Quick, do me up again. I don't want anyone to see.
Oh, what's wrong? Why are you not eating?
Just tell me the truth, Denise. Does he love her?
Who, dear?
Please. Don't lie to me, Denise. Tell me what's going on.
But I'm sure It's you he loves.
Well, you would tell me. But I've seen them. I know they meet. I saw him standing on the pavement staring up at her. She was there laughing. Of course they meet up.
No, no, they don't, I swear.
It's breaking my heart.
Oh, come. Everything will be all right, Genevieve. I promise you. You'll marry Columban. You'll get better, and you'll be happy.
Several months passed. The dejection of the Badoos was increasing with the constant torment of building works. Meanwhile, Denise had decided she had no choice but to go back to the Lady's Delight. She knew that Bourras couldn't afford to pay her, and she dreaded giving him notice, especially as Bourras was now totally surrounded.
So, you're leaving me?
Yes, Monsieur Bourras.
But what about the boy?
He's going back to Madame Gras. She's very fond of him.
Who can afford to turn down a wage of 1,000 francs, eh? Go on, then. Go. You can all go. Leave me on my own. Yes, on my own. Do you hear? Well, I don't care. I'll never give in. My lawyer, tell Murray I'm suing him. And I'll win.
The following day, Denise was coming back from the market.
Denise, I just heard the news, you're coming back.
Oh, yes, Monsieur Delange.
Oh, I'm so happy. The old shop's talking about it. You should hear what the girls and ladies were ever saying. Oh, and you'll love this, Denise. You know Clara Prunaire, the one who was so awful to you? Well, Monsieur Murray and her. Well, you know.
Monsieur Moray and...
Yeah, and Clara. That's right. Who would have believed it?
Back in the room, Denise began to feel faint. No doubt it was because she had climbed the stairs too quickly. She couldn't think why she had agreed to go back to the Lady's Delight. She was sure to suffer there again. She thought of the Badoos, a condemned family. And with her heart overflowing with pity, she was afraid for a moment that she had made the wrong decision. For was she not going to assist that machine, which was crushing the poor? On the 14th of March, the Lady's Delight inaugurated its new extended building with a grand display of summer fashions which was to last 3 days.
Bring more magazines and newspapers in the reading room. And where's the complimentary food and drink? I want 2 dozen jugs of cordial and 20 tins of biscuits on the buffet table.
Slow down, Octave, not so fast.
Where are the red balloons, Boudon? I told you I want them everywhere, everywhere. Do you hear me?
Very well. How much are we selling them for?
Nothing. They're free.
Free?
It's great publicity. Each balloon has the name of the shop written in big letters.
We don't need more publicity. You've already sent off 200,000 catalogues. We've got posters of the Lady's Delight staring out of every paper.
You can never get enough publicity, Boudoncle.
I still think one lift would have been enough. Why did we need two?
Oh, don't you get it? This isn't a shop. This is a temple. Oh, yes, a temple dedicated to woman. I want every woman to feel loved, cherished, adored.
Boudon!
What is it?
Why are the clothes down here? That's where they've always been. No, no, no! I want them upstairs!
Oh, come on, lads, hurry up. Take all the suits up to the second floor and bring the Japanese display down to the central lobby.
Oh, dear, dear, dear! Have you lost your mind? Is it necessary to turn everything upside down the day of our opening? There's already a crowd waiting outside.
So you think it's all right for women to come in, find what they're looking for and leave? Don't be stupid! They have to wander about. They have to lose themselves. They have to walk around. They have to find other garments they never knew they wanted.
But the salesman will be exhausted running up and down.
I don't care. I want it to look busy. All the rushing about will make the customers lose their heads. They won't know whether they're coming or going.
But turning round, he caught sight of Denise. She had been back at the Delight since the beginning of February. and she had been agreeably surprised to find the staff were now polite to her.
Ah, there you are, Mademoiselle Boudou. I've been looking for you. Will you come to my office this evening? I want to speak to you after the sale.
That's it. Yes, sir.
That girl again. You're not getting serious, are you?
Of course not, old boy. I'm just having fun. Don't worry. You know there isn't a woman who can get me. Now, I'm going upstairs to check what they're doing. I'll see you back in the office. Open the door!
The sale had begun.
Look at it, you dog. Isn't it a magnificent sight?
Towards 1 o'clock, as Madame Defarge made her entrance...
Henriette! I thought you weren't coming.
I'm just passing. I was almost crushed to death.
I nearly lost my petticoat.
While I'm here, I want to go to ladies' wear. I want to see that girl you tell me about. Do you know what she looks like?
All I know is that she's Monsieur Moret's latest.
He's incorrigible. I don't mind his little peccadilloes.
Madame Defarge, how nice to see you. May we help you?
I wouldn't be here if I didn't need help, Monsieur Bourdon. I'm looking for a coat.
Mademoiselle Boudou! Mademoiselle Boudou!
Yes, monsieur?
Accompany madame to ladies' wear?
Yes, sir. Would madame like to follow me?
Isn't that the awful girl who was dismissed for cavorting with her lover? He's taken her back. So she must be the one. Do you think so? Of course.
Please sit down, madame. I'll fetch the coats.
I'm sure it's her. When I was coming in, I noticed Octave talking to her.
But how can he prefer her to you?
I know. She looks like a peasant.
I've brought madame our latest model. We have them in several colours.
It looks like it's been cut with an axe. Surely you do better than that.
Of course, madame. I'll see what else we've got.
Oh, do I really look so old that he's unfaithful to me with the first tramp to come along?
Oh, you are much prettier than her.
Hello. What are you two doing here?
Are you looking for a coat? Yes, but they're all awful.
Oh, I rather like the striped one. It's been reduced from 170 to 120. Oh, look. See the tall girl over there? The one standing at the counter? Well, she's the one. She's Monsieur Moret's latest fancy.
No, it's the skinny one. Or maybe the skinny and the tall one together. You know what he's like. Anyone who's agreeable.
Oh, shh, Henriette. She can hear you.
I don't care. Let her hear. She won't make a fool of me. Don't worry. I'll have my revenge.
Come in.
You wanted to see me, sir?
Come in. I'll shut the door behind you, Mademoiselle Boudou. Yes, I wanted to tell you that we're very pleased with your work. And to show you our appreciation, from tomorrow you will be the assistant buyer.
But sir, there are girls who've been working here much longer than I have.
Well, that doesn't matter. You work harder than anyone. You're the most efficient sales girl we have, so it's perfectly natural that I chose you. Aren't you pleased?
Oh, I'm very happy. It's a great honour, sir. I just...
Come here, please. Closer. Closer. Well, don't be frightened. How much do you think we made today?
I don't know.
584,000 francs. Isn't it wonderful?
Yes.
Give me your hand.
My hand, sir?
Just give me your hand. I want you to take as much money as your hand can hold.
Sir.
I bet you won't be able to hold more than a 1,000 francs. Your hand is so small. Denise.
Wait till you hear this, Octave!
Yes, Boudoncle, what is it?
60,000! We've had 60,000 customers today. There isn't a shop in Paris that has ever had so
many!
Excuse me, sir. I better get back to work. And thank you again. Oh. Oh, thank you so much.
60,000!
Velvet, 32 metres, 6 francs 50.
On the first Sunday in August, the stock-taking took place. An ardent blue sky was warming the streets, and the whole population of Paris was streaming towards the suburban woods. But, in the ladies' delight, the doors were closed, and all the employees were imprisoned at their posts. Only Denise was absent. She had been confined to her room with a sprained ankle.
A letter for you, Denise.
Oh, thank you, Pauline.
Oh. Well?
I was very happy to hear that you are feeling better. As you are unable to go out, would you do me the pleasure of coming to my apartment for dinner? Octave Moray.
My dear, to tell you the truth, I thought it had happened already. Oh, don't be angry with me. Everyone thinks the same. After all, you were promoted so quickly, and he's always running after you. You'll go, of course. What's the matter? Calm down, there's nothing to be upset about.
If you knew how unhappy this letter has made me.
Oh, dear me, why? I don't understand. Well, for a start, he's not seeing Clara anymore. And as for that rich lady, well, I've heard that's over too. And anyway, you can't be jealous of a man in his position. With all that money, he does what he wants.
So you'd go, would you?
Who wouldn't? Well, I might not go now, because I'm engaged to Boget. Wouldn't be nice, would it?
So you are, Pauline. When a man loves you, he marries you. Boget is marrying you.
But, darling, that's not the same. Boget is marrying me because he's Boget. He's my equal. But Monsieur Moray? Do you really think Monsieur Moray can marry a sales girl?
No, no. That's why he should never have written to me.
14 velvet jacket, size 2, at 15 francs.
Mademoiselle Boudou, what are you doing up? Oh,
you shouldn't have come down, mademoiselle. There are enough of us doing the work.
Thank you. You're very kind, but I'll get a chair and do the accounts in the office.
Look, let me help you, Denise. Hold my hand here. Lean on my shoulder.
Thank you.
10 o'clock struck, and in the frenetic activity of the departments, the same news was circulating with surprising rapidity.
It's happened! It's for tonight.
They've been together for ages.
I tell you, she's just got the letter from the governor.
Don't be stupid. She runs to him every night.
I know her. It's not true.
There it is, Delos. Even I've had her.
You liar.
I've had her too.
You dirty liar.
Oh, anyone can have her for 5 francs.
Take that.
Upstairs in the ladies' wear department, Moray was doing his rounds.
Madame Morley, where's Mademoiselle Boudou?
She's checking over the lists, monsieur.
I see. Take me to her. I want to see the ledger.
Of course, monsieur. This way.
Well, really? Why don't they just pull up a bed while they're at it?
Mademoiselle Boudou, Monsieur Moray wants to see the ledger.
Yes, madame. Here it is, monsieur.
Very good. Excellent. That'll be all, madame.
Yes, of course, sir. I'll be in the storeroom if you need me.
Are you coming tonight?
No, sir. My brothers have been invited to my uncle's, and I've promised to have dinner with them.
But your foot? You can't walk on your foot.
Oh, I'll manage. It's not far.
But I'm inviting you, and, well, you can go there another day.
It's very kind of you, sir, and I can't thank you enough. But my brothers are expecting me.
Huh. So when can you come? What about tomorrow?
No.
Well, why not? What are you frightened of?
I'm not frightened of anything, sir. One does what one wants. Isn't that so? And I don't want to. That's all.
Where are you going?
To help with the stock taking, sir.
Wait! Listen to me. I love you. You've known it for a long time, so don't pretend you don't.
Let me pass.
But I love you, Denise. Why do you resist me? I can help you. I'll give you anything you ask. Anything.
Thank you. Thank you. I earn more than enough.
But I'm offering you freedom. I'm offering you a life of leisure, of luxury.
No, thank you. I'd be bored doing nothing. I've worked since I was 10.
Can't you see? I'm suffering. I'm really suffering.
Oh.
I want you to come tonight. If you don't, I warn you, I'll...
Let go of me, Monsieur Moray. I am not Clara. Anyway, you love another. Go to her.
I don't understand.
Please, let me pass. It's not right we should be left alone.
Two red dresses, velvet, size 10.
Excuse me, Madame Orley. Would you mind if I go up to my room? My leg hurts, and as I've got to go out with my brothers for dinner...
But, Mademoiselle Baudou, I thought you were, very well. Go on, then, go.
Thank you, Madame.
So, she didn't give in to him.
But how is that possible? She would have made a fortune.
Monsieur Moray, is there anything we can...
No, that will be all, Madame Orley.
It's quite obvious. He wasn't interested, that's all.
Moray watched Denise leave as she hurried through the hall and out through the door. He was at the top of the staircase on the big central landing overlooking the gallery. He'd quite forgotten the stock-taking. He did not see his empire, the shop bursting with riches. On the ground floor alone, 16 million francs worth of goods were piled up. But for him, everything had disappeared. The resounding victories of yesterday, the huge fortune of tomorrow. There was nothing. The shop was plunged into darkness. Madame Bove was the first to arrive at Madame Deforge's house at 4 o'clock for tea.
Octave promised me he'll come. And that girl is arriving at 5. I want to see them face to face. Then we'll see what we'll see.
But why bother, Henriette? You know she's just another conquest.
That's just it. He loves her, I'm sure of it.
Monsieur Moray.
Oh, my goodness, he's here. Octave! Where have you been? I hardly ever see you nowadays.
Well, there's no need to ask how you are. You look wonderful.
I'm very well. Not that you care, you naughty man. But you look tired, my dear.
I've been working. Where's the Baron?
Well, I hope he's not the only reason you're here.
Excuse me, madam, but you said I should let you know when the girl arrives for your coat. She's here.
Tell her to wait.
What a beautiful day. I've come all the way on foot. My doctor said I should take more exercise.
Baron Hartman. I say, who's that charming young girl in the hall?
Just a shop girl.
One of yours, Marie?
Not every shop girl is mine.
Oh, but I've just remembered. I have seen her before. Isn't she the girl who sold you the travel coat, Henriette?
Yes, and it doesn't fit me. I want her to do something about it.
Henriette.
If you'll excuse me.
Oh, go ahead, dear. I'll do the honours. Tea, Madame Bove.
Will you be all right, Baron?
Yes, I have to talk to Monsieur Moray. Let's move into the small drawing room, shall we, Monsieur? We had the board meeting yesterday, Monsieur Moray, and I'm afraid... The vote went against you.
Why are they being so stubborn? We must have a new entrance. The old one is too small. Don't my figures speak for themselves? Don't they show a constant increase in sales?
But, Monsieur Moray, you can't seriously expect to continue to expand.
Of course I can. Paris belongs to the women, and the women belong to us. They've made us both a fortune. Our latest figures show 80 million, and you ought to be prudent.
I'll go back to them. I'll explain that it's best to invest in your business rather than risk facing competition from another big shop. But be careful. One day, the women will tire of being in your power. They'll have their revenge.
Monsieur Moray, come with me. I need you. That dreadful coat of yours is giving me such a headache, Octave. Well, mademoiselle? Don't just stand there staring at me. Do something. It's your job to sort this out.
If Madame would put on the coat so I can pin it.
Tell me the truth, Octave. It's awful, isn't it?
I agree. It doesn't work. Take the coat away, Mademoiselle Baudou, and make Madame another.
I don't want another one. I want this one.
While Denise began to pin the coat, Madame Defarge watched for the slightest reaction on the face of Moray.
Ouch! You pricked me! Don't put the pins there! Put the pin in here! Oh, no, you're making it bunch up again.
I'm sorry. I've run out of pins.
Oh, Octave, darling, I have some pins in my bedside table. You know where it is, don't you?
Moray wanted her to be quiet. How could he tell Denise he adored her and that she was the only woman for him?
Here.
Give me your hand, Octave. There. Feel my shoulders. I'm not a hunchback, am I? You know I'm not built that way.
Please, stop this, Madame. I told you we'll make you another coat.
I've done my best. I can't do any more.
Oh, but it's worse than before. It's too tight across the chest. I look like a wet nurse.
Madame is a bit plump, and I'm afraid we can't make Madame any slimmer.
Plump? Plump? How dare you speak to me like that? Are you going to tolerate this behaviour, Octave?
If Monsieur Moray keeps me, it's because he has nothing to reproach me with. But I'll apologise if he asks me to.
Well, Octave, I see. It's a sad day when your mistress insults me in my own home. A little tart you picked up in the gutter.
Don't be upset. You know how much I care about you.
Thank you, sir.
So, that's the girl you love.
Yes.
On the 25th of September, work started on the new facade of the Lady's Delight. Moray was at last within reach of realizing his dream.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, sir.
But as he walked through the departments, his features were drawn with the feverish pain which was consuming him.
Good morning, Monsieur Moray.
Morning.
Meanwhile, Clara Prunaire, doing her best to be disagreeable to Denise, had got it into her head to make fun of the Baudou.
Oh, look, Marguerite. There's my admirer standing opposite, waving at me again. Poor boy. I feel sorry for him working in that dark, empty shop.
He's not that badly off. He's going to marry his employer's daughter.
Really? Wouldn't it be fun to steal him away from her?
I might do it just for a laugh.
Instead of wasting your time, Mademoiselle Prunaire, you should take care of the clients. Immediately.
Yes, of course, Mademoiselle.
Are we losing our temper, my dear?
Pauline! No, I'm not, but I have to be firm, don't I?
Come on. You know you could be queen to us all.
I don't understand why you resist him.
Is it because he won't marry you?
No. Of course not.
How would I be upset?
Everybody knows he'll do anything for you.
Boudoncle alone was unyielding.
We're doing better than ever. Our returns are increasing every month. You're not listening, Octave. It's that girl, isn't it? Well, I think it's time you knew that...
What?
Never mind. I don't want to hurt you.
Well, go on, Boudoncle. Say what you like. I don't care. I'm over her.
I'm glad to hear it, because she is no angel. The truth is, she sleeps with everyone.
That's not true.
She's had several lovers.
I don't believe...
She has one here, under your nose, and any day now I'll have the proof you need to see her for what she really is.
2 days later, Boudoncle saw Denise and Deloche at the end of a corridor, leaning against an open window, and so deep in conversation that they did not look round.
Oh, yes, I remember it. The roads have grass verges. In my village, we have meadows and a little river. Oh, and the water's so very cold.
It's just like that with us.
Oh, Mademoiselle, I love you. I love you so much.
Please, don't, Monsieur Deloche.
But we get on so well, Denise.
Shh, listen. Someone's coming.
No, it's only the water cistern.
Oh, sorry.
It always makes a strange noise. Oh, please forgive me, Denise. I promise I won't bother you again. Just let me hold your hand. All I want now is for you to be happy. If you love someone and it makes you happy, it'll make me happy too. That'll be my only joy.
Oh, my dear boy. You know I care about you. Monsieur Moray.
Follow me, mademoiselle. As for you, Deloche, pack your bags. Get out. So this is how you repay me, mademoiselle, after everything I've done for you.
Forgive me, sir. It was wrong of me to stop and talk. Only that young man comes from my part of the country.
You let him hold your hand. He kissed it. And what about all the others? Oh, yes. They warned me. I wouldn't believe it, but...
I don't understand.
Yes. Yes, I know about all your lovers.
That's enough, sir. If that's what you think of me, I don't want to stay here another second.
No, wait. Defend yourself. Say something. Swear nothing happened between you.
Goodbye, sir.
Oh, my God, I love you. I love you. Why do you torture me like this? You're the only one I care about. There's no one else. Tell me, must I go on my knees?
You're wrong to make yourself unhappy, sir. I swear those horrible stories are just lies. That poor boy is as innocent as I am.
Very well. I believe you. I won't dismiss him.
Oh.
But then why do you reject me if you don't love anyone else? You do love someone, don't you? You can tell me I don't have any claim on your heart. You love someone, don't you?
Yes, I do love someone. Now let me go, please. You're making me too unhappy.
I won't detain you any longer, mademoiselle. I can't hold you against your will.
If you believe I'm honest, I'll stay. You know, sir, one should always believe women are honest. A lot of them are, I assure you.
The following day, Denise was promoted to head buyer. She responded to her triumph in a calm, charming manner. The only person for whom she felt permanent repugnance was Clara, for she had learned that one evening the girl had taken Colombin home as she had jokingly planned to do. But this didn't affect her even temper. She now had long conversations with Moray.
Your work conditions are terrible, Monsieur Moray. A new employee has no rights. They're dismissed for nothing. Is it fair that people can be exploited in this way?
Oh, so you've become a socialist, Mademoiselle Baudou.
But it's in your own interests to improve your employees' work conditions.
What do you want me to do?
Well, you should introduce a system of leave during the slow season.
He's revolutionised the shop. He does everything you want him to, so... Why do you persist in making him unhappy? Is it because you hate him?
I love him.
What? You love him? Then it's simple. Just say yes.
No. It's because I love him that I can't say yes. I know it's ridiculous, but that's how I feel.
So... All this is to make him marry you.
Marry me? Oh, no. That would never occur to me.
Well, my dear, everyone thinks you're behaving like this because you want to lead him to the altar.
If that's what they think, I'll leave. All I want is to be left to live in peace, like everyone else. I'll leave. I will.
One morning in November, the Boudou's maid came to tell Denise that Mademoiselle Genevieve had had a very bad night and wanted to see her cousin immediately. It was a piteous spectacle.
Help me. Help me sit up, Denise. Tell me, is he still with her, with that woman? Tell me the truth. They're living together, aren't they?
No, it's over. She got bored with him and threw him out. Oh, cousin... If you love him so much, he may still come back to you. He'll admit his mistake and marry you. Oh,
look at me, Denise. Isn't it over? I'm nothing but skin and bones. Oh. I'm no longer a woman. Oh. It would be wrong of me to still want him. If you see him again, tell him I forgive him.
Goodbye. The next day, at 6 o'clock in the morning, Genevieve died after hours of frightful agony. The funeral fell on a Saturday. Black sky weighed down on the shivering city. When Denise arrived, she found the street full of the small tradespeople who had gathered to show their sympathy to the Boudous. Their eagerness to do so was also a kind of demonstration against the lady's delight, which they held responsible for Genevieve's lingering death.
The scoundrels!
They killed her!
Murderers!
The neighbourhood is being buried with her.
They'll follow us soon.
The procession moved off slowly, trailing through the black mud of Paris. Boudou, almost insane with grief, followed the hearse with heavy mechanical steps. Denise's heart ached with sadness.
Oh my God, help him!
I'm over. All over.
Oh, hold on to me, Uncle. You too, Auntie. You too.
It was a day of indescribable sadness for Denise, and her heart bled to see her aunt and uncle, crushed by grief, staring open-mouthed as the coffin sank slowly into the ground.
We should all go and jump into the hole. Yeah. We might as well all join her in the coffin.
That night, Denise hardly slept. She saw herself at the foot of Genevieve's grave, surrounded by weeping families and old men thrown out onto the streets, crushed by ruin. Why should she become such a powerful part of the monster's work, unable to save anyone from its terrible jaws?
You want to give in your notice? Why? It's silly. I'll give you a week to think it over.
I've made up my mind, Monsieur Moray.
You're making a big mistake. You'll never find a better job. Have you found somewhere else? I'll match whatever they've offered you.
Oh, no, Monsieur. I haven't looked for another job. I want a month's rest at Valogna with my brothers before looking for something.
What's to stop you coming back after that? Is it a man? Didn't you tell me you loved someone? Are you getting married? Is that what it is? Well, if you can't tell me the real reason, Mademoiselle Boudou, I shan't keep you any longer.
Sir, I...
You must come down, Octa... I'm sorry, Mademoiselle Boudou. I didn't know you were here. I'll come back later.
Mademoiselle Boudou is just leaving.
Goodbye, sir.
Goodbye.
It's our best day yet. The whole of Paris is here. They're buying up everything.
She's given in her notice, Boudon. She's leaving. Nothing I said made any difference.
What? You're making a killing and all you can think about is that girl?
What does she want? Is it marriage? Is that it? Well, then maybe I should marry her. Why not? What am I frightened of? She's so gentle, so sensible. Oh, God, I think I'm going mad.
For goodness sakes, marry her and be done with it.
You're very welcome, madame, and I hope to see you again soon. Thank you.
Denise, I've been looking for you everywhere.
Jean, you're here. What's the matter? And Pepe too? You should be at school. It's really not sensible, Jean.
I took him out for lunch, Denise.
I didn't have heart to take him back.
Oh, come here, give me a kiss. I should be angry with you, but I'm so happy to see you both. Anyway, it's my last day. My goodness, how you've both grown. I must buy you some new clothes. Come on, let's go downstairs to the...
They're your brothers, aren't they? I've met the little one.
Yes, sir. And this is my oldest brother, Jean.
Monsieur?
He looks like you. They both do.
Oh, no. They're better looking than I am, sir.
Well, they're a credit to you, mademoiselle.
Thank you, sir.
Mademoiselle Baudou, I want to talk to you before you leave. Come to my office after the sale.
Very well, sir.
Are you all right, Denise?
247,000 francs! We've made it! We've made it, Octave! 1 million in a day!
I'm going to marry her.
Oh, but that's wonderful, Octave! By God, I approve!
Yes, I bet you do. Well, you think I'm weak, don't you?
What? No!
Well, you think because she's got me, I'm finished and that the time has come for you to take over.
Really, Octave? You know, I've got nothing but the greatest admiration for you.
Oh, don't lie. Well, yes, old boy, I'm marrying her. And don't try anything funny or you're out. That's right, Boudoncle.
I assure you, I...
Get out! Go! Come in. Ah, you at last.
You asked to see me, Monsieur Moray.
I see. Very well, then.
I was coming anyway to thank you for everything you've done for me.
You're still determined to leave us?
Yes, sir, I must.
And what if I married you, Denise? Would you still go?
Please. Don't say any more. I beg you, don't make me more unhappy. I can't. I can't. I was leaving so as to avoid all this. Haven't I suffered enough here, with everyone gossiping about me?
But I want to marry you.
What? No, no, I won't let you do such a silly thing.
Just say you will.
No, it's impossible. And what about my brothers? I swore I'd never marry. I can't land them on you, can I?
I'll take care of them. They'll be my brothers too. Oh, say yes, Denise.
No, no. Stop tormenting me.
What? I offer you everything and still you reject me. I give up. Nothing matters to me anymore. I don't care about the shop. The success, the money. Will you see that million on the table? I'll get rid of it. Go then. Go and... And join the man you love. Well, that's the reason, isn't it? Well, you warned me. I should have known not to torment you any further.
Oh, but Monsieur Moray, it's you I love.
What?
Yes. It's you. It's you.
Oh, Denise.
Noray had fallen back on the desk and sat in the middle of his million, which he didn't even notice. He held Denise passionately against his breast, telling her that she should spend a month in Valognes, which would stop the gossip, and that then he would come to fetch her himself and bring her back as his wedded wife. In The Lady's Delight, Denise was played by Georgia King, Moray by Lee Williams, and Boudoncle by Conrad Nelson. Baudou was played by Nicholas Blaine, Bourras and the Baron by Will Tacey, Jean by Stephen Hoyle, and Deloche and Colombin by Michael Hugo. Madame Baudou and Madame Aurélie were played by Claire Beck, Madame Defarge by Melissa Jane Sinden, Madame Marty and Pauline by Maeve Larkin, Genevieve and Madame Bove by Polly Lister, and Clara by Chantelle Dean. The narrator was David Hargreaves. The Lady's Delight was written by Emile Zola and dramatized by Karine Adler. It was directed by Stefan Escrete and produced in Manchester by Charlotte Riches.
Most satisfactory. A heroine being clasped to a hero's breast and a wedding. Just like real life. And after the weekend, something to pique your interest. Androcles and the Lion, one of Aesop's fables. But this is George Bernard Shaw's interpretation, recorded in 1967. Always worth hearing a bit of old George, wouldn't you say?
Two former lovers collide in Noel Coward's comedy of rekindled love.
You're the most thrilling, exciting woman who's ever been.
How long will it last? This ludicrous, overbearing love of ours.
And hate.
Sick of listening to you yap, 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 yapping about Victor.
Don't you try to patronise me.
Now look here, Amanda.
Starring Bill Nye, Helena Bonham Carter and Andrea Riseborough.
Good evening. I was looking for my husband.
Really? That's funny. I was looking for my wife.
Private Lives on BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Mandy!
Elliot! Victor!
Sybil.
On Saturday afternoon at 4.
Mel's here next. Well, I'm not one to name drop, as you know, but I'll be back at 5 with David Threlfall and Hugh Laurie.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Ahoy there! It's Captain Mel, good ship Gedroich, and welcome aboard the SS 4 O'Clock Show. She's an elegant old vessel with a good turn of speed and a big stern. But that's enough about me old comedy partner Sue Perkins. Yes, we are setting sail on another fantastic 4 O'Clock Show adventure. And today we'll remember the glory days of one of the most famous ocean liners in British history, the QE2.
Your Majesty, will you do us the honour, please, of naming and launching this ship?
I name this ship Queen Elizabeth II.
Also on the horizon, we'll meet a schoolboy who has an unusual day job. He's a school bus driver.
One person has reported me to the police. They thought I stole the bus. And then they phoned my parents and the police went up onto the bus company and they showed them my bus licence and the police were fine with it.
And there's also the concluding part of our current story, The Boy Who Sprouted Antlers by John Yeoman.
Hello, Dexter, said Mr. Bartholomew in a loud but friendly voice. Well done. You've caught a burglar for us, and we're all very grateful, very grateful. How are you feeling?
I've got a bit of a headache, said Billy.
Now, I have to admit, I do think this old tub is looking a little bit leaky, but luckily we won't be needing an ocean liner to get us to today's magical mystery tour destination, as I can exclusively reveal it's right here in Blighty. Okay, as ever, we're heading to an undisclosed location, and you have to guess where we're going from the hints that I give you. I'll begin by saying this place is a really wild part of London. That's it for now. This place is a really wild part of London. Have a think, and I'll get back to you with more clues later in the show. Good old Rodney. Or is he Roderick? I think he's probably Rodney. Yeah. This year marks the 5th anniversary since the legendary ocean liner, the QE2, was retired from service. Never got to go on it. Always wanted to do that trip to New York. Anyway, the sleek and elegant cruise ship was one of the best-loved boats of the 20th century and spent nearly 40 years travelling the oceans of the world. Even today, she retains a special place in the hearts of all who sailed on her. And in this documentary from 2008, those who built her and sailed in her remember an icon of the golden age of ocean travel.
My name is John Robert Burton Hall, retired master of QE2 and Commodore of Cunard Line. 20 years on board QE2 in bits and bobs. Came ashore 10 years ago. I'm an elder brother of Trinity House.
Rosie Burton Hall, John's wife. Well, we met on board 27 years ago.
My wife was approached once by a friend of mine and said, oh, you're the second woman in his life.
Other, please. Ah, so you're the other woman in John's life.
Which I think probably applies.
We have an order we'll fulfil.
with a touch of the master and a bit more skill.
I stood by her for nearly a year and a half in Clydebank when the fitting out was going on. So there were 4,000 or 3,000 Clydebankers working on the ship. It was their ship, and I think they resented it when we took it away.
Your Majesty, will you do us the honour, please, of naming and launching this ship?
I name this ship Queen Elizabeth II.
There were four interior designers. It was, you know, state of the 1960s, Twiggy style. We had a coffee shop with waitresses in miniskirts. Officers weren't allowed in there. I don't know why. But it was a 1960s ship in a way, but I think that's the charm of it still.
One, two, three, and slow, slow. Step together, touch, same foot. Slow, slow. Step together, open and go to change. Slow, slow. One more, rock, rock, rock.
One of the nice things, I think, is in the evening when people dress for dinner, not only the ladies and gentlemen, which is still...